Now, do you, so you got in 2015, you get into practical shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do any match directing, RO, CRO, anything?
Yeah. I usually, when I get into something and I really enjoy it, I usually go all the way. And so I started off like a lot of, I just went and took the RO class, went to Omaha. They had one in March every year. So I went, and there was a whole bunch of people from Sioux Falls that went down there for that. Got the RO cert and then started ROing and did that. And then, and was content with that. I wasn't really looking to, you know, I never saw myself as a match director or a CRO or anything like that. It was just like, yeah, I'll be an RO and learn the rules. And I've always been a rules guy. Like, I ref high school football for 6 years, I think it was. You talk about, you think USPSA's rule book's thick. High school football, NFHS has three. There's literally three books you have to learn to ref high school football. It's crazy. And they're so, you know, all these weird scenarios are, can be really wild. But I enjoyed learning the rules and that sort of stuff and knowing what's actually going on. But then, let's see, what year was it? 2020, the gun club I'm a board member of, Sioux River Sportsman's Club in Canton, South Dakota, just south of here. Just as a, was honestly, the idea was it was just to be a moneymaker. We were going to become a USPSA affiliated club. The Sioux Falls Practical Shooters were at a different club northeast of town, and we weren't trying to compete with them. I mean, they're our buddies. That's, you know, that's who we all got brought up on with it. We just wanted to do it in addition to that. We were planning on just having weeknight matches throughout the year, maybe a weekend match here and there when they didn't have, because they have quite a bit, quite a few matches out there roughly every other weekend. So we weren't trying to step on their toes. We just also wanted to do it. And so I was the biggest USPSA nerd at our club. So I took it on and was sort of spearheading that project. And was it that year? No, I think it was the following year. Actually, I think it was 2022. I don't remember what year it was I got my CRO. I think it was 21 or 22. But so we did 1 year of USPSA in 2020. And then after that year, there was some drama at the Omaha club. The section coordinator stepped down. The new section coordinator was actually from up here in Sioux Falls, Robert Olson. And their club, like the original club up here, was not big enough to handle a section match. Ours could be, because we were expanding at our club. And he said, hey, you think you can handle the section? And this is like out of nowhere. I had no idea this was coming. I'm like, maybe if we get some more berms built, we need to have a meeting. Can you come? Yeah. And so then that January we had a meeting, and like, we got to get berms in these places done. We got to get three other bays built. And all of a sudden, boom, that year I went from being a first year match director of a club to a level two section match director in the space of a year. And it was a rather violent shove into good luck. My buddy Jeff, who I do Not Another Shooting Show with, he still swears up and down that first one we had up here was one of his favorite matches he's ever shot. I tried really hard and got lucky like that. It went off without a hitch that first year. And then years after that, then I made mistakes. Like even the timing of the stages, like I didn't really know what I was doing, and it turned out perfect. You know, I kind of got lucky the first year. And then the next year, I thought when a stage was going to be fast, and it was not fast. It was, and we had a giant backup on that stage, you know. And those things you learn. And then then I shot nationals. I shot nationals in 21, mostly just so I could see a big match. You know, I'd shot Area 3 and I'd shot Great Plains down in Omaha, but I just wanted to see something different that wasn't, because those two matches were pretty much the same flavor. It was 32 round field courses all over the place. And and some kind of craziness. And I just wanted to see a match in person that was different from that. So I went to Low Cap Nats down in Alabama and shot that. And then I think it was the fall. I think it was actually in 2022. I got my CRO cert, and I tell you what, that class is really worth doing. The RO class, the way they do it right now is it's like checking a box, like, oh yeah, you're certified. Like, you know, you don't really learn anything until you start ROing people. Honestly. I think that class would be better if they did a lot of more online learning and then had people work with an RO. 'Cause you learn it when you're doing it. You don't really learn anything in the classroom. You know, you're either a rules person or you're not. So like most of the, like, I'm still learning. I learn a new rule every year. There's always something I'm like, oh, I didn't know that, you know? But the CRO class, just the stuff we did in that, Ray Hurst did our class, and it gets way deeper into the stage design, and at least the way he teaches it. I don't know how anybody else does it, but we got really deep into stage design, and then and it got into it. It reminded me of being a football ref. He would go deep into like weird scenarios, like, okay, what's the call for this? Here's this weird thing that happens, and then we would kind of sit and discuss or whatever, and he would just sort of watch us twist in the wind trying to figure it out, and maybe we got it right, maybe we got it wrong. But I got a hell of a lot out of that class, just learning about how to build good stages and how to troubleshoot them. And the CRO class is, I think you have to be an RO for a year before you can take that, I think it is, something like that. But I got a lot out of the CRO class for sure.
Okay. Now let's go back for a second. You said you are a board member at your local club?
Yep. I'm the treasurer.
So how long have you been on that board?
I was voluntold to join the board in 2017 or 18, I think it was.
You've been on there a couple of years.
Been on there a while. Yeah.
Okay.
And probably 2018, I think, is when I found out, hey, we nominated you to be on the board. Oh, okay. Cool. It was a club that was kind of in some flux. It was like a lot of gun clubs. It was run by a bunch of old guys who are really crabby and they don't want things to change. And the idea, what do we need berms for? We got all those trees there. They're pretty. They're the backdrop for the archery range. Well, we want to plow those trees over and build pistol bays. And when we did it, they were not happy and a bunch of them quit. And,
wow.
But I don't mean to, like, I don't mean to be ageist or anything, but there is to try and deny that there is not a particular type of male individual who is a board member at a gun club when they're over the age of 60 is to say the sky is not blue. It's just a thing that happens. And I'm probably going to be one of those crab asses when I'm 65 as well. But God, I hope not. I pride myself in trying to have an open mind about pretty much anything, even though sometimes I'm not. But it was most of that drama happened before I was on the board. Like, this all started just before I got on. I was one of the replacements of one of the guys who quit. So, and then when I became the match director for the section, and it was at our club, it was a really big pain in the butt to not have access to a debit card or a checkbook when you're having to buy stuff for a match. Because if you don't have that access, it just, I have to go get it. And it was such a pain in the butt. And then when the treasurer left, I was like, hey, I'll be treasurer, please. then I can be on the bank account. And I'm not the only one on the bank account. Like, I've always been very forward about, like, hey, anybody wants to look at the checking account, go right ahead. Like, I don't have an OnlyFans account through there or anything. Like, everything's cool. Like, don't worry. I'm going to be very, very transparent with what money we're spending. So, so I've been doing that since, gosh, I don't know. I don't know how long I've been, probably since 2021. I've been the treasurer, which for some reason means you're also in charge of memberships. And our club is sort of a dumpster fire when it comes to that, because we have, it's just been it used to be, you would go, if you had a membership, you'd go down to the hardware store and get the key. And then you would go out to the club, unlock the padlock and go shoot. And then when you were done, you had to bring the key back to the hardware store. But if someone else was there, you had to make sure you gave it to them so that they could lock up and then get out or whatever. And so this culture of like being able to walk in and buy the membership at the hardware store is just ingrained in this small town. Well, now being just 20, 25 minutes from Sioux Falls, we've grown so much because we've got cool stuff out there to do. We've got a 300 yard rifle range with steel, covered shelter that we've built. We've got 9 pistol bays. We've got another 100 yard range. We've got a trap field. We've got an automatic trap that members can use. We've got some cool stuff to do there. So lots of people from Sioux Falls are coming down and buying a membership. So we've gone from like 75 members to like almost 500. Now we've got a lot more money in the bank, but now we've got new problems like people doing dumb shit on the range, like shooting the ceiling and shooting steel in the pistol bay with their AR, you know, like the stuff you should not do. And a lot of it's ignorance. It just, a lot of people want to call those people stupid, but some of them just don't know. You know, I didn't know you shouldn't shoot steel with a 223 at 20 yards before I got into practical shooting. I didn't know that was dangerous and that it destroyed the steel. I wouldn't have known. So, but it's an adventure, and I end up with a lot of the questions and whatnot because I'm in charge of, I did the website and the membership system and the POS, and it's don't volunteer.
Well, Andy, that's the perfect segue into the next part of this, but I'm going to use the restroom real quick and then we'll continue.
Good call. I'm going to do the same.
Ooh, I needed that.
Yeah, I didn't realize I did until you said that. I'm like, yeah, I could go too, for sure. Apparently the board meeting started at 7 Central, 8 your time. So that was why. And they're in executive session right now.
There's a surprise.
Yeah, shocker.
Yeah, yeah. Shocker.
Oh, can't talk about financial stuff in front of the little people. Yeah, that's something I think should change.
It should. Now, I understand that there are some topics within that sure. You know, maybe some agreements between ranges that nobody wants out. Okay, I get that. But the rest of it is, there's no reason to hide it. None whatsoever.
The bylaws are very broad when it comes to things that will be confidential. It's basically, if you just say financial information is confidential, that means they should never talk about anything money related ever publicly. And that is so wrong because all it does is hide everything. It hides the good stuff and it hides the bad stuff. And that's not good. At least that's not how I think it should be for a nonprofit shooting sport. If they're on the up and up, it shouldn't, you shouldn't be afraid of that.
Agree. Totally agree. So that brings us to where we are now in the show, which is back in December, Scott Arnberg removed as Area 3 director. And as I said in the introduction, I knew Luke, I'd heard Luke had thrown his hat in the ring. I didn't know that you had, until Luke posted the letter that he wrote stating he was withdrawing, since you and him were the only two candidates, he was going to withdraw, thereby invoking a certain bylaw, which would basically elect you as the interim Area 3 director until such time there is an actual election.
Well, not interim. Position. I would be the Area 3
director.
Finish
out his term.
It wouldn't just be the interim. It would be the specially elected Area director.
Gotcha. Okay. My first question is, being in Area 3, what is the pulse of the members in Area 3?
We're pissed. Really, really, really pissed. Even people who don't normally care about the internet drama of USPSA are pissed. When people I would hear talking about it, we were in the off season, so we don't shoot year round here. You know, there's some winter matches, but they're not even really USPSA. But when some people were aware of it, some weren't. And when I would explain it, or I heard somebody explain what was happening to people who don't pay attention to the internet drama, they were like, what? Are you serious? They got rid of Scott over an email. I like how Todd Weitzel said it. His crime was the equivalent of driving 56 in a 55 is essentially what his crime was. And as soon as, funny story about that day, I had randomly just emailed Scott and said, it wasn't random, but I wanted to pick his brain about some match planning stuff because he's been running matches at the Ankeny Ikes Club and outside of Des Moines forever. He's really good at it, knows a lot about it. And I just wanted to pick his brain about some stuff. So I scheduled a call for him. That call happened to be the day after the board meeting when he got the boot. So,
oh, wow.
So this happens and we had like a 10:30 call scheduled and I called him. I'm like, "Hey Scott, how's it going?" He's like, "Well, I've had better days." I'm like, "No, I know. I'm fully aware of what happened because the news kind of broke that morning of what had happened." And because I literally 10 minutes before the call, I saw the Ben Steger video and was like, "Oh my God, what the hell is going on?" And I was immediately furious. I was so angry. I just, it boggles my mind that the attempt to hold this stranglehold on power is so important that any dissension has to be eliminated. And it's just so stupid. And in the process of this, I was, the first time I said it to anybody, I was messaging with Joel Park about I was trying to organize like a meeting of match directors and section or match directors in our section specifically, because I wanted everybody's pulse on how the section match should be. I'm not the section coordinator, by the way, that's Robert Olson, but I am the match director for the section. So I wanted to get everybody on a Zoom call and get a hold of everybody. And I knew Joel knew a bunch of the guys that were match directors further south in Kansas and Missouri. I hadn't shot down there much, so I didn't know any of those people. And I knew he could hook me up with them. So and in the process of this, I was like, F it, I'm running for Area 3 if this doesn't get fixed. I just sort of said it angrily off the cuff in a text message to Joel. And then I was like, oh wow, I really meant that. And so it sort of, I never, ever in a million years imagined myself in a position where I would run for an area director position. Not that I was unwilling to serve, I just didn't care to serve at that level, you know. And obviously I do serve the sport. I've been a match director now for going into my fifth year doing that, fourth major match that I'll be the match director of. But I just never envisioned doing that. So, and then as that all played out, you know, we had the meeting of the match directors in our section and we were pretty much all in agreement. Like, we're going to shoot less USPSA matches this year and cut off money going to the org in protest for this. And then when Frank got booted for a day or 2 days, then I had to remind myself I was an adult and like, okay, calm down.
Right.
Stop. Think, you know, let's do this rationally. Let's not jump to there wasn't much to jump to. The conclusion had been made, but like, let's be smart about this. Okay. Let's not disaffiliate the club. Let's not. And the one thing I've been very, very staunch on with anybody I talk to is do not let your membership lapse. You have to be able to vote to fix this. Right. And I even, a guy, one of our local guys here even said, well, what has that gotten me lately? I'm like, it gave you the opportunity to cast a vote for Scott.
Correct.
You made your voice heard and he was elected. Okay. And I need you to be able to vote when the special election rolls around, whether it's me or somebody else, I don't care, but you need to be able to vote to get whoever we send there. And so, yeah, so that's kind of how it all went down. The, you know, people are very, very unhappy. Todd Weitzel, he's the match director for the Cornhusker Classic down in Omaha. And he also was very, I thought I was pissed. He was even more mad than me, I think, maybe. So we've talked on the phone quite a bit, you know, about the rules he adapted for Hit Factor, adapting the PCSL rules to basically a one gun sport that's more like USPSA. There have been a few matches under that rule set that have been done, and like Jeff was saying, he's like, yeah, I shot that match. You know what? It was pretty much like shooting a USPSA match. It wasn't really different. It was just the divisions had different names. That was it. That was the only difference. So, yeah, so that's kind of where we're at right now. The board meeting is happening as we speak. They're in an executive session, which is a shocker.
right.
Because anything financial must be an executive session. We cannot. Now, it does say in the bylaws, like, finances have to be discussed. Okay, well, if you waive 10.2, doesn't it waive the whole thing? Not just the parts you want to waive? That's a thing that's really frustrating. Like, it says all financial information shall be confidential. Okay. So I don't think all of it needs to be. It needs to be more specific. It needs to be stated employee matters and competitive negotiations. Like, to me, nothing else should be confidential. There's not a single thing.
I agree.
And honestly, like, when it comes to employee salary amounts, I don't think there's anything wrong with that being out there either. Like, the wage I'm making for the state of South Dakota, you can go look that up on opensd.org or .gov, whatever it is. You know, I make $23.50 an hour driving a snowplow part-time. Like, it shouldn't be a secret what the employees are making at the nonprofit. Like, if we're just being open and honest, you know, it's not, it's not that big a deal. Like, if there's disciplinary issues or other sorts of things like that, I understand that that's different, you know, but to hide behind all employee matters are confidential. No, not all of them have to be. I mean, every state employee in our state, their salary is on the internet. Everybody, every highway patrolman, every DOT worker, everybody who works at the driver's license place, all of them are all there to be found. And there's no reason why the salary shouldn't be there other than people don't want to get crap for how much they're making for what they're doing, you know?
Yep.
And a lot needs to change there, in my opinion.
Well, Andy, you're very busy. you have the two podcasts, like you said.
Yep.
You've got kids who are active. You're married. You're doing multiple gigs here. How much time do you have to devote to this?
As much as it will take. That's something that's going to be, I'm going to be doing less of one of my podcasts for sure. The DOT gig is ending soon anyway. You know, I'm only going in and working like one night a week for 4 or 5 hours. And then if it snows, then I'm working a whole bunch for a day or two, but you know, that's going away here pretty soon. You know, I go in and drive in the morning and the afternoon. That's just a few hours. I'm busy, but I've gotten very good at scheduling. If it's not in my Google calendar, it doesn't happen. Like, if I hadn't put this in my Google calendar, Dave, I would have forgotten to hop on the podcast. I'm not going to lie. If it's not there, I will miss it. But I've gotten very good and disciplined at planning my days and doing that. So, I'm busy, but there's room for it in my life. So, and I also don't, at the same time, like, I also don't think, like, these board meetings are ridiculous. I don't understand why they are having 7-8 hours of board meetings a month. This is not how this should go. There's so much just random jabber that we're now finding out about. What it was like before they were on the internet, who knows?
Correct.
Because, you know, people, I'm sure, were getting screamed at and yelled at, you know, for how dare you. And this sort of thing. And now that it's, you know, on the internet for everyone to see, it's, the tone is much different, mostly, I'll say. But
well, they made a strategic move on Monday, did you? Which was, as soon as I saw what they were doing, I knew what they were doing. As soon as all you could see was the document that Yeemin was typing on and a tiny little image of him, they were covering everybody else so that now you can't see Donna roll her eyes.
Yeah.
You can't see the other stuff. You know, like they were saying, Rick Steele, what is he doing? Playing video games or something, you know? And I'm not trying to disparage Rick. I don't know him. But I mean, those were the comments that were coming out. But I don't know what Rick was actually doing. But with Donna, it was clear what she did. There was...
Yeah. Go ahead. No, it was. Sometimes people think things are strategic, and sometimes I think it happens out of inability to make it work better. I don't know if Yeemin is the host for that, and he's like doing it with a phone and a laptop and doesn't have like another screen. I don't know what Zoom is the origin of it. But yeah, leaving the, you know, where it's just like the one thing's up in the corner of the screen, there's the only face you see while it's going on. Maybe it was strategic, maybe it wasn't, I don't know. But, and I don't really care if I see who's on there. You know, I care way more about what comes out of their mouth anyway.
Agree.
You know, I mean, if Donna's rolling her eyes, I'm pretty sure if I end up on the board, I'll roll my eyes a time or two as well. I don't think the board members should have to work 20 hours a week to be a board member. I really don't. It shouldn't be this complicated. Yes, there should be stuff to review. Yes, there should be communication with members. If things are less stupid, there will be less communication to have because there won't be as many people bitching and writing emails, you know? So you fix some stuff, a lot of that goes away. Now, I'm not saying like that all I should have to do is show up for the board meetings. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the board should do what the board should do, and that is to guide the direction of things and then let the president and the managing director and the staff do the work, but do the work the board is actually wanting them to do, not going off on their own, doing whatever somebody else said. Like this whole re-registering the corporation in Alabama thing is just like, okay, that's kind of a big deal. Now, there's some things where, okay, does it have to be a board? Like, not every decision made for USPSA needs to be a board vote. I think that's something I've seen people talk about where I'm like, look, who we get for the catering for nationals, is that doesn't need to be a board vote. You know, there's a lot of things that can just be a decision made by an employee. And that's okay, as long as it's in line with the direction of the board. You know, I don't think the board needs to be activists. They don't need to go looking for things that need fixing. That's the job of the managing director. Like working in radio, I worked with a lot of charities. We would have them in to do interviews and publicity for things. And some of them we got to know quite well. And their board is not involved with all this day-to-day nonsense. You know, like the USPSA board seems to be.
Right.
They just guide the direction of the organization, and you get somebody really good in there as that managing director, and then they hire other good people under them, and then you get a well-oiled machine. And then you don't have to, you know, be constantly putting out fires as a board member. Like it should not be the board member's job to put out fires. That's not what their job is. Their job is literally just direct the organization in a general heading, you know. Now, I get that it's a smaller organization, you know, in terms of like what the org itself is actually doing, but it just feels like they're always looking for a problem to fix. Like we're gonna fix this thing over here, and we're gonna fix that thing over there, and and like just let the employees bring stuff. And then we're kind of like, yes or no, or if there is, you know, a thing that comes up, like, look, we really shouldn't be scheduling matches in states with mag bans. Okay. I get that you guys want to do this, but we really shouldn't be doing that. And here's why. There's a bunch of problems with that. Like telling members that it's okay to go to a state and break the law, whether they're going to break the law or not. And, you know, I know people who are like, that was so stupid. I'm like, yeah, I know. But when it comes down to it, were they telling people to go break the law? Yes, they were. Mm-hmm. And that's so don't schedule matches there. You know, if Colorado changes their laws, great. Go back to Cameo. But I just, it shouldn't be a 20-hour a week job to be a board member. And if it is, I mean, and if you make it that way by just like reading and researching, you know, things that are going on, that's cool, you know, but you know, I really don't think it should take more than an hour of my time a day to be a board member. Now, it probably will at first, you know, but I don't think it should be that way. There should be days where I don't have to do anything, you know, as a board member, you know, it shouldn't have to be this constant managing of crisis. And it's kind of what it seems like it is right now.
Yeah, I would. And I would even take that one step further and say, if you're going to spend that much time as a board member, it should be just dealing with the clubs and the other shooters in your area.
Yeah.
You know what 100%. I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, as I was talking about that, I wasn't even thinking about, you know, visiting the clubs in your area. Yeah. I'm right. Just thinking about all of the nonsense. And, yes. But that was something like when my wife was asking me, like, so what all are you expected to do? And I, like, are you expected to like visit clubs and like go all over the place? I'm like, well, to a certain extent, yeah. There's a certain amount of money, I guess, that they set aside to help the area director, you know, go visit all the clubs in their area, or not all the clubs, but, you know, make the rounds a bit. And I think that's a fine thing. I don't know what the dollar amount is. I think right now with the org hemorrhaging money, it probably should be lower, whatever it is. Or if we just have a year where we're like, maybe you just visit the clubs that are close to you. Or if you happen to be shooting somewhere, you know, or we just drop that dollar amount way down, you know. I'm not a wealthy man, but I know how to manage finances. My wife and I don't really have debt other than our house and one vehicle. You know, we don't have a bunch of credit card debt. I don't buy things I don't have money for. That's how USPSA should be run. If we don't have the money for it, then we shouldn't do it. You know, Nationals needs to be held. Like that's the one of the purposes of the organization. And it should be. But if we're at a point where we can't have five Nationals or six Nationals, whatever it is, then we need to cut it back, you know, two or three, like, cause there's, and I like, I'm not even really, I'll say two or three because multi-gun Nationals is not put on by the org. Like Forest Lake Sportsman's Club is putting that on and they're just paying activity fee. So the org's not having to pay for that. So that's not an issue.
I think, but then, haven't they given them money to help put it on though?
It was my understanding that they, I mean, they got some support. I don't know how much, but for the most part, it was, my understanding was they were just paying activity fee like you would holding any level three match, you know, like area three or area six or whatever, you know, they pay activity fee on the match. So, you know, the, like Adam and his team are at Forest Lake are basically, they're just dealing with it and then paying the activity fee. At least that was my understanding. So, and there probably was some help. I don't know exactly, but I worked that match last year. So it was a good match. It really was. They did a great job up there. But yeah, I won't pretend to have all the answers, but I'm sure I'll have opinions and,
you know, right. And I get that. And nobody has all the answers. That's where, you know, a couple of years ago, I started saying, you know, we should lean on, stop being so restrictive as to who can see stuff going on and include more of our experts that are members. Because we have a lot of people that, I mean, there have been several individuals who are accountants or lawyers or whatever who, you know, you could reach out to and just get an idea of, hey, what do I need to be thinking about here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something as general as that. And they may not want to actually be in a position as like a board member or something, but they're more than willing to answer questions or help out here, help out there, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't feel like we dip into that 20,000 active member pool enough.
I'll be the first to admit, like, I'm not some, you know, genius business person. I've been a manager. I've had employees. I have experience with that. I've seen a lot of talk on the internet, like, everyone who's on the board needs to be like a super successful businessman. And I'm like, no, the most important thing they need to be is somebody who cares about the sport and wants to be a steward of the sport for 4 years. That's what they need to be first and foremost. Everybody's going to have a different skill set they'll bring. I come from a marketing and media background. There's a lot of things that are, I did my other podcast I did last summer. I did an episode with Eamon because he was at Area 3. And so I went over to his hotel and recorded an episode with him. And when he was rerunning after getting kicked out for nonsense. And I remember asking him, or I don't remember how it came up, but I just remember saying, why is the board so tone deaf when it comes to issues the members care about? They do and say things without any thought to how it will be received. And the fact that they never do is just mind-boggling. I don't know how you could ever make a decision like, we're going to raise memberships. Life memberships going from 500 to 1,000. Your annual membership will go from 40 to 65. We're just going to do that without any overnight sort of plan to soften the blow. You've already got controversy between the members and the board. And then you're going to do that out of nowhere, like because the board, the meetings aren't live streamed at this time. And all of a sudden, we're just going to tell you, you're going to pay more money. And what are you bitching about? You said we have financial problems. What's the problem? Why are you mad? We're trying to fix that. Well, because overnight, with no notice whatsoever, you just decided to jack all the prices. With like that. And why are you upset? Because you just raised the prices for everything out of nowhere. And we don't really agree with the justification. You know, what are you doing with that money besides setting it on fire and losing it?
Yeah. Well, and look, I had back the weekend before SHOT Show, Yeeman and I had like a 3-hour dinner in Pahrump, Nevada, because I was at Prairie Fire doing some stuff and he ended up coming out there. And I said, that should have been an incremental raise. They should have looked at where they want to be and determine the best route to get there. You want to get there in 3 years, you want to get there in 5 years, but it's an incremental each year.
Yeah, I think I heard raise you talk it a little bit recently.
Yeah. I said that's how that should have been handled. Cause I agree. If those costs haven't, or the membership fees haven't increased, which they haven't since I've been a member.
Yeah, me either.
Then maybe it's time to raise them. But again, it doesn't mean you go from 500 to 1,000. For a life membership overnight. Yeah. That's ridiculous. I mean, when I talk to people, that's supposed to be, I talked to somebody and I don't want to, I can't go into too much detail because he asked to remain private and we had a lot of private conversations, but I found out some historical information and that whole lifetime membership is supposed to be roughly a 10-year amount of money, 10 to 12 years. Well, now, even at 65, you're talking now you bump that to a 15 year.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like, wait a minute. This is crazy.
Yeah. It was a little over what it would have been 12 and a half years previous or no. Yeah. 12 and a half years.
And a half. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Would have been the old one, but like the the amount of money, like all of a sudden I'm right now I'm A96689. I'm an annual member. I'm going to have to shell out $1,000 for a life membership here if this happens. And
right.
I don't know if you got through my whole podcast that came out today, but a very cool thing happened. Kevin Hartman, who was the section coordinator in Minnesota, he stepped down last year. They have a new one this year, but he got a hold of me and said, hey, because he was aware of Luke's plan. That was a plan. It wasn't out of nowhere. I'm pretty sure nobody thinks it was a sudden decision.
Right.
Luke had got a hold of me a couple weeks ago and it was like, hey, I just wanted to talk to you and, you know, make sure we're singing off the same sheet of music. And if so, then, I'm just going to withdraw so we can get an area director on the board right away. And so we had a nice 45 minute chat and I'm guessing he communicated that to Kevin at some point, and Kevin got a hold of me and said, so did you get set up a GoFundMe yet for your life membership? And I was like, yeah, it's going to be fun telling my wife about that. And next day he sends me a message. He's like, well, as soon as I find out that you and Luke are the two candidates, I'm going to launch this GoFundMe for your life membership. And I was like, oh, you were serious. Whoa. Okay. And he did, you know, on Friday after that email went out, he launched it. And he, I mean, he approached me first to make sure I was good with it. And being a, you know, of Scandinavian heritage from the upper Midwest and cold climates, like we're tough, prideful people. And like, I don't need, I can handle it. It's okay. Like I don't need you to be doing that. Is like my instinct. And he's like, dude, this is a bunch of crap. This $1,000 is just to try to keep people out. You have a family that should be, you shouldn't be taking $1,000 from your family, you know, traveling to your daughter's gymnastics meets and stuff like that. Like I could afford it, you know, would it set some things back a little bit? Yeah. It would throw a monkey wrench into our finances temporarily, but, or I could throw it on a credit card. But like I said, we don't really carry balances on our credit cards. And he's like, look, I think we can raise it pretty quick. It's not a huge amount of money to crowdfund. And so I'm kind of like, you know, I'm a little embarrassed, but I'm like, okay, like he talked me into it. And so then a few $100 get raised the first night. I wake up Saturday morning at our hotel in Rapid City to a text message from Kevin that said, well, I shut off the donations. We hit our goal. I'm like, what? What happened?
Wow.
And I went and looked at it, and Ben Steger donated $630 to end it and close it out.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw that. I just got chills. I was honestly like a little emotional too. Like, God, this is unbelievable. The people in the sport are so cool. And of course I sent him a message thanking him. I had no words. I mean, it was two sentences. I didn't know what the hell to say. And his reply was just, do your best. We got to get this thing fixed. And I sent message to as many of the guys as I could find on the ones that named themselves. I got a hold of a few of them and sent them a message over Instagram. It was just like, hey, I'm really humbled. Thank you. Which, by the way, if this doesn't happen, if Scott gets back in, which would be my preference, let me be clear. My preference would be Scott Arnberg be our area director, 100%. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I never wanted to be the area director. I'm happy to serve if I have to, and I will do my best. But I would prefer Scott be that because he would be better. He is better at it than me. So, but at the same time, though, it was just, like, I wouldn't have bought a life membership otherwise, you know?
Right.
And several of the guys that I did get a hold of that donated said, like, it's complete BS that they're jacking this rate up. It's just another barrier to entry to try and join the club, to try and discourage people from running because they're going to have to drop $1,000, which, I mean, we, we spend a lot of money in the sport. Like, this is not a cheap sport to play. So, like I said, I could have done it, but the fact that people in the sport were just willing to, like, hey, he's gonna take one for the team and go do this job that nobody wants to do. Like, let's help him out. And the fact that they did that, I thought was really, really cool. So, yeah, it's a weird thing too about the people I've met in this sport. It's like, I have more friends as an adult now than I did prior to practical shooting. And almost all of them I met through practical shooting. All of the people I communicate with the most. One of my really good buddies, Tyler, here in Sioux Falls, I was on the radio and was talking about, I did this really cool thing called a three-gun match this weekend. Let me tell you about this. And he's like, oh, I've always wanted to do that. And so he sends me an email just like as a listener. And he just asked me a few questions, and I ended up writing him this novel of an email with all the stuff that you should do to, you know, get into it. And he informed me the last thing I said was, make sure you help reset. And it was the last thing I ironed in. But, and now he's one of my best friends, you know, and we talk all the time. And it's crazy how, you know, I even said this on our show here a couple of weeks ago when Omaha had somebody at their club pass away unexpectedly. And so Jeff and I were kind of talking about that on our show and the people you meet along the way. And I said it then, and I still believe this. Like, I go to matches first and foremost to shoot. I go for myself. You know, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't go. But the other reason I go now is because of all these people I've gotten to know and all these friends I've made, and just the amount of fun we have hanging out, giving each other a hard time. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. So I have a couple of questions. One of the things that when Scott and I spoke, one of the several times we spoke, one of the things, and this is, you know, part of the public stuff too, is that there's historical, whether it be financial or whatever data, that was difficult to come by for the board members. What are your thoughts on any type of information being withheld from current board members?
It's absolute lunacy. Why that would not be available, I there is no justification for that. Not a logical one anyway. Or maybe a legal one. I don't know. Something Eamon told me a while back that I was flabbergasted when he said this, is that they don't really have, like, USPSA's been around a while. Okay. There's certain things and procedures and stuff that happen. When I was the program director of a radio station, I wrote an operations manual for the studio. Here's how to do this and this and this. And when there's severe weather, here are the procedures, and here's the things that we do. This doesn't exist in USPSA.
Nope.
There's no manual. There's no procedures written down for anything. There aren't a list of policies that have been adopted by the board written down anywhere. There's none of this. Now, you don't have to be an MBA or a former CEO to know, like, that's a problem.
It is a problem.
Like, the board members particularly, I mean, it's not for, I didn't throw my hat in the ring to run for the board because I wanted to become USPSA royalty or anything. I really, really believe the board members are stewards. It's our responsibility right now to take care of the sport for the members now and the members in the future. And the way you do that is you have to be able to know what was decided 8 years ago, because there could be a policy that says we don't schedule major national matches in Colorado, and here's why. You know, like, for all I know, there was a decision made, but no one who's on the board now was on then, and knows that, you know, and I'm making that up out of thin air. You know, that's not, I'm sure that's not a thing, but I've also heard though, another thing when I was talking to Yeeman last summer, like we recorded a podcast for about an hour in his hotel room. And then I sit outside and talk to him for another hour. Cause Yeeman, if you get on the phone with Yeeman, he will talk your ear off for hours. And you pretty much have to say, I have to go to bed now, Yeeman. Something that was, I brought up to him was there are so many votes on issues that should be contentious that are 9-0, 9-0, unanimous, 9-0, no dissenting vote, or, you know,
dissenting vote. Right. Yep.
Dissenting vote. I'm like, how is that possible? How can you vote on, especially when it comes to like equipment rules? How is everybody just in 100% agreement that, yeah, this is fine. We'll just change the weight limit on all guns to be just 59 ounces. You know, it completely, in my opinion, ruined production, and it made carry optics less interesting, even though it's the most popular. It's way less interesting that it's not a production gun the way production used to be. Whatever the mag limit is, I don't care as much about that, but the all these unanimous votes, it's just crazy how everything's unanimous all the time. And committee assignments, yeah, that's going to be unanimous over and over again. But other things, there should be a lot more no votes on those things, and there just never were. And back in the day, from my understanding in this conversation, was when new board members got on, they were basically told by the old timers, don't rock the boat. Don't you get on here and think you're going to do nothing. Don't rock the boat. And that's what they're told. It's like, okay. I'm just part of the good old boys club. Okay. I'll just go along to get along. Okay. And that is not how it should be.
Like, no, I don't have that personality to do that.
No. And nor do I. And if I think something is a bad idea, I'm going to say so. You know, I don't understand how things can just happen because of inertia. And, you know, one person says something and like, yeah, like, well, let's do that. You know, I don't know if it was a hive mind that got out of control or what, but like when the bylaws got rewritten a couple of years ago, like there's a lot of bylaw rewriting that needs to be done. A lot of undoing.
Yeah.
I'm a big advocate, as you might imagine, for removing the requirement to be a life member for a board member, because if you already have to be a member for 3 years before that, what added extra is there that there's someone's a life member? You know, I mean, if there's some stipulation, like you have to have a debit card on file so that your membership auto renews, fine, whatever, you know. And as we found out, there's apparently more than one policy for what a year membership is in USPSA. You know, whether it's what the right. what the website does, or if it's just a year, you know, I teach a lot of laws, like self-defense laws and firearms laws in South Dakota. Well, before a chapter of the law starts, there's a list of definitions, what words actually mean. Well, one word that needs to get added to the bylaws is, what is a year membership? What exactly entails a year? Is it 365 days? Is it the anniversary of the day? Or is it the anniversary of the last time of the first time you bought it 3 years later? So it's a year and a day later. So now it's 2 years and 2 days later. But then the grace period still works. Is it that? What is it? We don't have a firm definition of that. There's multiple versions of what a year is for membership. That needs to be clarified.
Confidential needs to be clarified further.
Big time. Like what is confidential needs to be clarified and spelled out. Not like the confidentiality is like a paragraph. It needs to be more detailed than that. A lot more detailed.
People need to know exactly what is confidential and what isn't.
So. Well, it's just like the rules of a game. I need to know what the rules are before I get into this. You know?
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. And when a thing has a, you know, when there are rules, we follow them. That's the other thing. We have bylaws. Okay. Whether or not I agree with the bylaw is irrelevant. If the bylaw is the bylaw, then we follow the bylaw. So, you know, we don't know what's going on with the board meeting right now. It's happening as we're speaking, so this will be could be slightly dated when the
once we know what happens once it's over.
I got apparently the A3 thing is still under review by the law firm. No ETA. Good hell. I'm sorry, I forgot what I was saying because I saw I had a text message from I had a text message from the guy I asked to give me play by play while we were recording, and I'm like, am I the Area 3 director? Nope, I guess not.
Looks like another month with no Area 3 director.
Yeah, I've been joking. Ben Berry is our surrogate foster area director. So whenever I've had a question about something, I've been getting a hold of Ben. He's a smart guy. He might be the smartest board member we've ever had. Like it's good to have that guy, you know.
Definitely the wisest, you know.
Well, and you know, but like wise is something you attribute to somebody who's older.
I know.
He's not that old, you know. I don't know how old he is. I don't think he's
40. But he's very level-headed and wise and just like, nope, stop. Here's where we're at. You know? It's like you go, Ben.
And like I even like in that first board meeting he was at, I wasn't throwing any shade or anything. I thought he made a mistake by abstaining from that vote.
Mm.
Like he was doing it on principle. And I understand he was trying to stand on principle. It turns out, because I said something on a podcast after that, and then it turned out like, well, he kept standing on that principle and turned out right. So like I was kind of wrong when I said it. But at the same time, though, like if there was a way to make this go away before it started, like even though I know it was not against the bylaws, clearly the rest of the board doesn't care about following the bylaws. So let's just go down this rabbit hole with them and see if we can pull off the, you know, the Heisman on this stupid get rid of Frank thing over nothing.
Right.
And like when I was watching that, as they're going through like the reason why it was out of order, you know, in the second meeting, I'm looking at the thing on the screen that said the dates. And I'm like, he missed it that year, but that year didn't matter. He had paid for 3 years and one of the years was only 11 months. You know, because of the, well, we just always go off this certain day plus one day. And I was like, oh, this is hilarious. You know,
so it's just how one person does it. Not necessarily.
It was just how Brotzel set up the website to do it, you know?
Right.
And when you actually looked at like, oh, he missed it because it was this, but he had actually paid less than a year prior. So is it the day he pays or is it the day the website says is his start date? And then it backdates. Well, if it backdates, then it was still continuous, you know, like which is it? You know, like we need to define things like words mean things. What do these words mean? We don't know.
Well, I mean, you said it earlier. It was just a witch hunt. So, yeah. And when I did my editorial, that's what I pointed out was.
That was great, by the way, Dave. When I saw that was like pert near an hour, I'm like, damn. Going an hour all by yourself? Like,
yeah, I've never done that.
That's a tall order. You did it well though. Like you get into a groove where you're just like, you're talking to imaginary people and it flows good. Like that's how you do it. Literally.
Yeah. I had that one had to be kind of organized. Oh, yeah, sure. So, you got to prep that
100%. Yeah. But no, it was, I was like, ooh, how's this going to go? Went pretty damn well. I thought.
That's what I was worried. How is this going to go? But
no, it's great.
Yeah, I was like, I was nervous hitting that upload button. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've been there. Like, how's this going to go? And it's good to take that risk. Like sometimes when you think you're, you know, stepping out more than you should, like if it makes you a little nervous, you're probably doing it right. Like that's when you know you're onto something.
Until next time,
don't be a little bitch.
Yeah.